Our services are free and no referral is needed. If Action Reads sounds like the place for you or someone you know, contact us at 519-836-2759 or visit us on the web at actionread.com. 2759 or visit us on the web at actionread.com.
Hey everybody, I'm Kelly Jones, and you're listening to Pioneer Radio.
Let's talk about radio, because radio is so good.
I'm going to tell you something, Flacca, and I want you to listen tight.
Telling stories to regular folks is not a trivial thing.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
Even if it's hard to explain, even if you know they don't really want to hear it, not really, I urge you to give it a try.
You have my undivided attention.
Take a chance, find the words, find the metaphor, share the beauty, tell them a story.
Last week on Pioneer Radio, we brought you part one of our series on Ray Mitchell's campaign to be the mayor of Guelph. We caught a glimpse of the life that Ray leads as an antique dealer and started to see what his campaign trail might look like. Recall that he was kicked out of the Ken Danby School under confusing circumstances after just 15 minutes. This week, we want to look a little more closely at Ray Mitchell, the politician, if he exists. After all, Ray ran for mayor without wanting to be the mayor, which allowed him to think and say and do things that his competitors could not. Whether this actually made a new way of doing politics possible remains to be seen, but that's what's at the heart of today's show. Ray Mitchell ran for mayor because he was different. So, what difference did that make?
By the sidewalk there with the cracks in it, with the Mexican restaurant next to it, with the clothes for the bigs and the fats in it, and the mothball smell to the hats in it, is the lonely little thrift store, the hard-luck little thrift store where I go.
Part 3. Yeah. Someone to pass to.
Well, it's an old storm front from the 30s.
I'm Ray. That could have been Scotty, though. No way that I'm Bert Whistle, because he was 80 years old when he was born, and he only got older. He might have had too many prunes.
One thing that not running a normal campaign made possible is a level of honesty that we might not otherwise see from a mayoral candidate. Ray Mitchell made no pretense in terms of his feelings about the two frontrunners, Karen Farbridge and David Birtwistle. He couldn't pretend to like these people, because his dissatisfaction with them was the reason he decided to run for mayor in the first place.
So did you tell anyone, like, did you have a discussion with Jenny or your wife or anyone before you decided to run for mayor, or was it like a spontaneous thing?
No, I waited to the last second.
Yeah.
I kept waiting for someone to step in. Mr. Birtwistle is now claiming he stepped in because no one else would, but he's a filthy liar because he's been running for the last year. It was all positioning himself.
Hmm.
Very strange dude, because I don't know how a loser can decide they can be a mayor of a city.
What did he lose at?
Well, he was the councillor, and they kicked him out last election because they didn't like him. He's the incumbent. So if his ward people didn't like him,
yeah,
you really wonder what they knew the rest of us should know.
Yeah.
It's really weird. You can't go from losing and finishing last to running for mayor, because people know this. It's just strange. So that's all we got. We got me, who's a heroic loser, him, who's a big loser. We got Scotty, who's never going to win. And then we got the incumbent that nobody likes. This sounds fair. Sounds almost like Toronto or maybe a bunch of cities.
On the one hand, Ray seemed to say that a vote for him was only a vote against Farbridge and Birtwistle.
I honestly believe that the race for mayor is already over. It doesn't really matter, because we're going to wake up with either a wolf in sheep's clothing, or we'll wake up with a wolf in wolf's clothing. I went into this partially. If anyone votes for me, it's merely as a protest vote. I also would like to see people look at everybody and then maybe decide consciously vote for none of the above.
But, on the other hand, in debates and in public forums, A kind of personal platform started to emerge the more people asked questions about what Ray might do if elected.
When I first made the toughest decision I've ever made in my life was to run for mayor. I was almost physically ill as I walked away from City Hall after paying any money. The first event I got to go to was a little one-man conference on poverty, and it was right up my alley in more ways than one. At that conference, I heard Bob Bell telling one lady who's running for council how to prepare a pamphlet on how to get elected. He told her to study 4 issues, no more than 50 words, and you never ever talk about poverty, because poverty will not get you elected. And it broke my heart. And what really broke my heart is I know that Bob's right. Bob knows how to get elected. Luckily, I don't have to worry about that. So what I'm trying to do is bring a new voice. I can talk about issues the other competition won't mention. I can talk about poverty. I can talk about youth. I can talk about electoral reform. I'm hoping I can just change the world a tiny little bit.
We'll move into our first discussion question. This one goes to Ray. What priorities would you set for your term in office?
Again, I really don't think we're going to get there. I'm not really sure. I think there's 3 issues in this election, and that's the economy, that's the environment, and that's poverty. If I was in office, there would be no more capital projects. We have to get our financial house in order. There's no way we can take on any big new Taj Mahal kind of spending. We were asked this question today in the Elliott, a very similar type question, and I told perhaps it just goes to what kinds of toolbox that a particular candidate has. My toolbox involves being a stay-at-home dad for 5 years, as a single parent for 5 years with a wife who did not pay child support. I worked at Woods making freezers for 3 years. I've been a journalist for 3 different newspapers in about 4 years at the University of Guelph. Maybe the biggest tool I can bring to my toolbox is that I've played over 3,000 games of hockey. Everything you needed to know, you can learn from a hockey professional.
Thanks, Ray. If elected, how do you intend to maintain existing levels of service without raising taxes and still meet the province's places to grow targets?
And we keep going back to things, it would be insane to vote for me. I still think I'm the best candidate of the board. It's kind of ironic.
So, although Ray kept insisting that he couldn't and wouldn't get elected, he had definite issues that were important to him. The economy, the environment, and poverty, and definite groups of people that he wanted to speak for. The poor, the youth, including both students and artists, and immigrants. His main concern was to give these people, A, a chance to put forward their own issues, and B, a chance to vote, and vote strategically.
It's weird, eh? All the people I care about are the people who don't vote. Immigrants and students and poor people. I know how to pick them, don't I?
Do you think they have good reasons not to vote, or that they just don't care?
Well, who the hell's a kid going to vote for?
You.
Someone, you know, who maybe doesn't even speak English is not going to... It's going to be really hard to tell for them to tell who to vote for. And poor people tend not to vote because they just don't vote. They don't maybe even get to the polling station. They don't get the information. Maybe some of them can't even read. Students, if I could rile them up enough, I'd have to change my name to Obama. I got this really neat shtick about Obama's black and I'm poor. It's horrible shtick because there's no comparison, but it's kind of funny. I'm Guelph's Obama. Vote for change. Pocket change. Give me your vote and a nickel. I literally didn't eat for like 2 weeks because of the $200 it cost to sign up.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Well, I didn't have $200. It's pretty funny. I'm probably the happiest, hungriest, poorest person in Guelph. I'm having a lot of fun.
At every debate, Ray had a lot to say about poverty issues, in response to almost every question. From debates about transit, where to cut services and why, to debates about Guelph's water conservation, and in even more metaphysical debates about whether candidates should refer to Guelph as a community or a corporation, Ray held fast to the idea that no decisions about spending or business relationships should be made without consideration for how those decisions would affect the poor. Similarly, whenever a question about the state of downtown Guelph arose, Ray offered a different take on the problems that other candidates rallied against. Most often, it seemed that attempts to keep the poor and the youth out of downtown Guelph were disguised under attempts to keep the poor and the youth safe, and safe from themselves. In contrast, Ray put a positive spin on what he called the beautiful chaos of downtown nightlife, and insisted that safety and an increase in vibrancy should be related, not mutually exclusive.
The downtown and its future direction is a topic of much discussion. Some see it as trouble and others see it as vibrant. How do you see it now and in the future?
Yeah, what some people see as trouble is actually the vibrancy. It's exactly what makes it such a wonderful, beautiful, ugly, weird, neat place to be. There are two downtowns. There's the daytime downtown, which is beautiful and quiet. It does not economically pay for itself through the services that it takes. The nighttime is wild. It's a zoo. At least the police are there. They're doing a wonderful job. The kids are safe. The most important thing is the safety of the kids. We just have to realize the wonderful financial revenue from the nighttime. The nighttime more than pays for the daytime. I think the arts community downtown got it. When my thrift store got evicted, we can't go back and revisit that, but we do need something to take its place for artistic and creative youth.
Thank you, Ray.
Unfortunately, as Ray pointed out earlier, poor people and immigrants tend not to vote, possibly because voting is made unnecessarily difficult for them. And the majority of students at the University of Guelph have tended not to show interest either. This latter problem came up at a debate held at the university itself. Again, Ray altered the standard stump speech slightly. Rather than simply encouraging students to participate in the election process, he encouraged students to participate, especially if they didn't like what they found. Which, again, was the reason why Ray decided to participate as a candidate himself in the first place.
The core group that I care about, the young, the poor, there it is, none of them vote. Going into an election and trying to cultivate people who are not really going to give you any electoral success. I get to use my requisite hockey quip. Somebody once asked Sergei Berezin of the Toronto Maple Leafs why he didn't pass more often, and he said, "Who to?" It's the same, I think, with the students. I think that they're scared. They talk about forcing students to make it against the law for them not to vote, and then they don't come up with any candidates that are worth voting for. Scotty's the first candidate probably in the last 50 years that's been born within 20 years of any of you guys in this room. I think it's horrible. What I really want everybody to do is go home. I want you to research all the candidates for council, all the candidates for mayor, and if at the end of that decision-making, the decision you come up with is to vote for none of the above, I heartily applaud that. I think that should be one of the options. I'm pushing for electoral reform, and I really think that people should have the right to not vote for any of the above, and maybe next time we'll get better candidates. When I first joined this race, hoping someone would come into a rescue us, and no one appeared. I joined out of anger because this past council ripped a business away from me. They doomed me and my daughter and my grandson to poverty. I don't really like that. Since I got into it, I've got much more of an upbeat feel about it. I found out that I've got fans up there, and people emailing me, telling me that they're going to vote for the first time in their lives. They see somebody that they know I'm not going to win, but it's almost like I'm the Obama of Guelph. Strange. I'm not campaigning for change, I'm campaigning for pocket change. I'm running my entire election, a lot of it is electoral reform, I'm running my entire election on a zero budget. There's two behemoths running against me, each of them is spending in the neighborhood of $100,000. Behemoth was not meant to be negative, but just to show the amounts involved. In the neighborhood of $100,000 each, the two major candidates running against me. So my whole idea is that I can promote myself as a different voice, I can bring up different issues. I can also form a protest vote. Every vote for me, if I get one vote, I'm a success. I'm the happiest candidate in the city. Every vote for me is a finger up the bum of the establishment. I just love for you to think about that. Thank you.
Part 4, election results. Evening of the debate at City Hall, a double rainbow stretched across downtown Guelph.
Look at that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's good news.
Talk about symbolic, because a month ago I saw vultures circling the chambers. And last week I saw a skunk walk right up the front door of City Hall.
We know what Ray thinks about Ray, but how was he received by the public?
You live outside of town anyways, don't you?
Yeah, we live on the North Township.
So you can't vote for me anyways?
No, we can't.
But you'd be an idiot even if you could to vote for me.
Why? Well, you probably do a better job than the chick that's in there.
Well.
Unfortunately, we won't know this time around whether Ray would make a better mayor than Karen Farbridge. On October 25th, 28,072 ballots were cast in Guelph. 14,902 of those votes went to Farbridge. But a surprising 1,182 votes were counted for Ray Mitchell, who had said at the start that he expected to get around 5, one for each of his family members eligible to vote. The night of the election, I tried to meet Ray at a pub downtown, but we missed each other by about 15 minutes. But I found some guys at the bar who knew Ray. They play hockey with him, in fact, and were willing to talk about who they voted for and why.
So you didn't vote today?
Correct.
And why not?
No comment. I just ran out of time. I probably would have voted for Karen. I don't know. Well, Ray very early on in the debate, actually I think his first sentence was, I have no chance of winning, so I can tell the truth, which was refreshing, but it kind of took any notion of voting for him out of the mix too. So. He seemed to me as though he was fairly practical, and unbridled with the thought of having to tell people what they wanted to hear, and that came across, and that was refreshing. I thought with both Karen and Bert Whistle that they looked around, saw what audience they had to speak to, and you know. Spoke to whatever they thought the audience that day wanted to hear. So Ray was a breath of fresh air, but so to speak.
But I voted today, and first I went to the wrong spot, but then I found the right spot and went there, and I voted, and I had all intention of voting for Ray, but I ended up voting for Karen because I really didn't think that Ray had a chance to win. So. Between Karen and Bert Whistle, I wanted Karen. So I thought Ray was the second smartest guy there, or did the second best things. And Karen, I thought Karen was good, and I thought Ray was ahead of Bert Whistle and that Scott fella.
Yeah.
I thought he was very knowledgeable. I was surprised at the knowledge that he had in numerous areas. I was surprised. And he would talk about Burlington does this and Hamilton does this, and he did seem to know a lot. So.
He has some depth, but he has a... He probably shoots himself in the foot by being a little irreverent. Like, he makes himself easy to dismiss, so which is a shame, because he could say the most intelligent thing, but if Karen just laughed him off, nobody would challenge it, you know?
So it seems like when Ray said something like this, he got people on his side.
Some people see the glass as being half full and some see it being half empty. I think the glass is completely empty. I think the glass is broken. Again, it's my pessimistic, dire way of being realistic. People do not know how bad a shape we're in. On the books, we have $100 million in debt. We have another $100 million of unfunded infrastructure. The sewers downtown are all breaking. They're planning on a $75 million new library. They built a museum that we didn't need. They want to build a $45 million South End Cadillac Rec Center. There's no money there. If we cut half the city staff, if we don't build a single capital project in the next 5 years, and if we cut a bunch of services, we'd be lucky if we get away with 10% tax increases over the next decade. I think we're completely up the creek, and the creek's full of sewage. Sorry.
But when he followed that up with, "and I don't have a chance of winning," he lost a lot of those believers. Ray knows this. He was able to see, as the campaign wore on, just how much he was reaching people. This awareness was manifested in the fact that Ray Mitchell did not spoil his ballot,
something that he joked about doing at the beginning of his campaign. Nor did he vote for Scott Nightingale, his fellow underdog. Ultimately, the story goes that Ray Mitchell had a normal day on October 25th, 2010, and then he just happened to go to the polls and vote for himself for mayor of Guelph. ...1,181 other people did, too.
No, now everything's back to normal. But yesterday was just an average day, yeah.
Yeah?
I show up at the rink, though, and there was a photographer waiting in the hallway. And he followed me into the dressing room and took pictures of me changing.
Really?
Yeah. I haven't seen the photos. He's from the Mercury, I think. Yeah, it's very strange.
Huh.
I told him I'd put my jock strap on one testicle at a time, just like everybody else. I don't know if that'll make it into the... Maybe that's a bit too nuts. Oh, horrible. Oh, my God, too nuts. No. Yeah, anyways. So what?
You going to run again?
Well, next time there's going to be better people.
You think so?
I know. Yeah. Cam Guthrie's going to run, and maybe even Andy Van Halleman. Somebody normal.
Who are they?
Well, they both got in last night. Oh. They're normal people. If there'd been one normal person to run this time, they might have won. Because Burt Whistle was horrible, and he got 10,000 votes. That's 10,000 people that hate Karen. It's not that they liked Burt Whistle.
Did you spoil your ballot yesterday?
No. I voted for me.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good.
Nah.
That's good.
It wouldn't have been fair. It wouldn't have been fair to my supporters.
Yeah. No, I'm glad to hear that.
And then I talked to the janitor, and then he took me in the back of the polling station, which is a church, and there's a great big altar with a huge picture of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I bought it for $50. So it's going to be coming in here tomorrow. And they might have it. They've got a massive oil painting of Jesus in Norway. He's surrounded by Norwegians.
Really?
And they might be selling me that, too.
Really?
So I'll get my $200 back. Just because I voted.
Not
see?
Bad.
Yeah.
So, if you could do one part of it differently, what would you do?
I'd spend money and get a website.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Isn't that sort of against the reason why you started?
Well, I ran this a one-time sociological experiment, so next time around I would spend money.
Oh, okay.
If I had money.
Yeah.
You really need a website. People kept phoning to know what my platforms were, and they couldn't find out.
Yeah.
And it's so there wasn't enough information out there. I'm a little bit, I procrastinate, and I'm a bit lazy, which is sort of the same thing. Like, there's no way I could run for council because I couldn't knock door to door.
Right.
I just wouldn't do that. I'm uncomfortable with that anyways, but it was really smart running for mayor because it got me all the attention without any work. So that's the one thing you have to have is a website. Yeah, it wouldn't matter what I'd done different, though. No.
You don't think so?
No. I should have kept saying that I had more of a chance to win, even though I knew I didn't. And that might have garnered me a few more votes, but it wouldn't have made any difference in the long run.
Yeah.
And who cares? I mean, 1,200 is incredible.
Yeah, that's really good. You said maybe there'd be four, you and Jenny and your mom.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe your wife.
No, I knew there'd be 500.
Yeah.
Jenny thought 200. Well, it's amazing that there's 1,200 people out there even heard of me, so that's... astounding. A bunch of them are the dispossessed who have been never voted before.
Mm-hmm.
I was like a rock star. Sorry, but it's sort of the truth. And there were poor people that voted who have never voted. And there were poor people tried to give me money,
yeah.
Which of course I wouldn't take. Yeah, no, I think the students might have voted more for Scotty.
Yeah.
And that's fine. Well, they'd see him as more, the few students that actually did vote. I can't believe he got 900 votes. I'm so happy for him. And you have to put him and I together. But still, 900. Because he really didn't do nearly as much work as I did. He was working too much. And he doesn't have access to a computer much. So that's unbelievable. I was allowed to go up there and tell the truth. You can't do that if you're running to be elected. That's the main thing. I wasn't running to be elected. If I'd done everything and played by all the rules, I still wouldn't have won. And I wouldn't be able to sleep at night. So I'm happy. Yeah. I never appear to be happy, but I am. I'm always like this.
Yeah.
I'm not manic and I'm not depressive.
But you start all your speeches off with
There's no hope for me. Mm-hmm. There's no hope.
I know.
For
it's funny, eh? Yeah. It is. And you can't, you know, if I am affecting social change, it has to start somewhere. So if you keep voting for the same old, you'll never get any kind of a change. So I'd like to think that, you know, and I don't honestly think my 1,200 votes sent a message, but it'd be nice to think that they did. I don't think Karen's quaking in her boots right now, but she might be. It was an art project. Ultimately, the end, I called it a sociological experiment, or, but ultimately, the end, it was, I don't do any kind of art. So this ended up being my art project. And it was really good. It got really great critical reviews. And I actually shipped a few units. I sold 1,200 copies. That's amazing. Because I thought I'd only sell 500 copies. So it is. So next time I'm just going to have to pick a different project. It wasn't a political campaign. Some people didn't like that. They said I should have been more serious. And I'm like, well, then you run.
Listening to Pioneer Radio on CFRU 93.3. See you next week.
You can help us smile. What fun to not know why we're lost in the only thing truly getting lost in. It's so nice to think you're alone and to look up and see your home.
I'm your host, Sheila O'Reilly, and I'd like to invite you to a dog's breakfast, Saturday mornings from 10 to 11. We'll be celebrating music from all corners of the globe, with a special focus on music inspired by elsewhere, but cooked up by our many voices here in Canada. Please join me for a dog's breakfast here on CFRU 93.3 FM, on Saturday mornings from 10 to 11.
The rights of tens of thousands of migrants working as living caregivers in Ontario are being neglected. As the name suggests, caregivers give care to those in need of assistance. But who's caring for the rights and needs of migrants working as living caregivers? Migrante Ontario is a non-profit organization advocating for the rights and well-being of migrants working as living caregivers. The passing of Bill C-50 has made it easier for people working in Canadian migrant worker programs to work with temporary status, but harder to gain permanent residency. Working with temporary status in Canada leaves the rights of migrant workers far less protected. However, most migrants who come to Canada are led to believe that they have the chance to become Canadian citizens. Interested in getting involved with the Guelph contingent of Migrante Ontario? Connect with us at migrante.ontario@gmail.com. That's MIGRANTE.ontario@gmail.com.